Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Could the solution for combating the massive algal blooms along the Florida coast be found in microscopic plastic beads? The idea is one of a few competing for $10 million George Barley Water Prize created by the Everglades Foundation. The prize was developed in 2016 in response to the major algal blooms across Florida, but is intended to fund a technology that can be used around the globe to reduce phosphorus contamination in water. Green Water Solutions out of Wellington is the company behind the microscopic beads, one of the finalists. Frank Jochum is the CEO and for 25 years has been studying marine sciences and algal blooms. Frank, such a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome.
And also joining us here in studio is Lauren Barra. She's with the Everglades Foundation and the director of the George Barley Water Prize. Lauren, great to have you. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Lauren, real quickly, why was Green Water Solutions technology ultimately chosen and it's four finalists, I believe, right, in this contest?
Sure. So Frank, along with his teammates and the three other finalists that were chosen, actually participated in a 90-day, three-month pilot phase that we hosted in Canada. And based on the data that we took from those 90 days is how we decided which final teams would actually move on to the Grand Challenge.
So really, ultimately, what is, you know, the impetus for this competition? Is it about the algal bloom or is it about the phosphorus? Because there's two different things here.
You're right. And that's a great question. So the best way to really try and pose this question, really, blue-green algae is a symptom. It's a direct symptom of phosphorus pollution. And so you can try to address that symptom the way that you can try to address a cough when you have the flu, but you're really better off addressing that root cause and really addressing the infection or the bacteria giving you that sickness. And so excess phosphorus pollution is what we've asked Frank, his teammates, and the other finalists to address.
All right, Frank, explain to us this idea, this use of microscopic beads, and how is that going to work?
Well, in a very simple expression, it acts like a magnet for phosphorus. So the water basically runs through a bed of these plastic beads. They are contained, so they're not getting into the environment. The phosphorus in the water instantaneously absorbs to that plastic material like to a magnet. It's not a chemical reaction. It's just a physical absorption, and it's very effective. Actually, the outflow usually is so low that no microbes, no algae can grow in that water. Now, the good thing about the technology is that eventually, like every magnet, when it's saturated with what it absorbs, in this case the phosphorus, our technology can simply wash off the phosphorus with another solution, making those plastic beads being reusable perpetually. And at the same time, we're not only removing the phosphorus from the waterways where it doesn't belong, we recapture the phosphorus in a concentrated aqueous form that is suitable for use in, for example, the fertilizer industry. So we're taking the phosphorus from where it doesn't do good to where we need it later, in the context also that we cannot have a modern agriculture without phosphorus fertilizer, yet the projections show that by the end of the century, all the phosphorus that we are able to mine will be exhausted. So we're addressing two points, preventing the algae bloom by taking basically the algae food away and bringing the phosphorus back to where we desperately need it.
Is there anything like this anywhere in the world? Anybody doing anything similar to this?
Well, different teams have similar technologies. Other technologies also work on an adsorption principle. They're using different materials as an adsorbent. We happen to have a material that is proven already in commercial applications in Europe for the last 6 years in process water treatment, and that happens to have a very high affinity to phosphorus, so creating a very low outflow of phosphorus and being very readily regenerable, so we can reuse the material for a long, long term.
And you talk about similar to something that's being done in Europe. I mean, like where specifically?
So my business partner, Kos Bas, who with me founded Green Water Solution 2 years ago, he has a company in Europe, in the Netherlands, called AquaCare, and they're in the business of using industrial process water, like in HVAC systems, in cooling towers, in membrane systems for water treatment, and using the same technology there to remove phosphorus. There, the problem is not the algae blooms, but what we call biofouling. There are bacteria growing on the inside of pipes and water membranes, and in those bacterial films can grow pathogenic bacteria, one of them being Legionella. There's a lot of regulation around it in Europe, so they came up with this idea, instead of putting in chemicals to basically kill the bacteria, to remove something that the bacteria can grow.
So Let's paint the picture here of what this would look like. You know, first of all, because these are microscopic beads, basically you're placing these into sort of what, canisters?
In big tanks. So people who live in more rural areas who might not have access to city water use those little filter cartridges to process their groundwater for drinking water. And this is basically the same technology. It looks very similar. So we have big tanks that are filled with the plastic beads. The water runs in, it runs through, and it runs out. And that's basically the core of the technology.
And it's basically working as a filter. It's cleaning the water out.
Exactly.
Of the phosphorus. Where do you imagine these would go? What I mean, is it, we're talking about before you get to Lake Okeechobee or after Lake Okeechobee, before that water is pumped out into the estuaries? Where would these go?
So this is people who suffer from the algae bloom need to understand that the solution might not be in their backyard. So we talk to people along the coast who suffer from those algae blooms, and I tell them, we won't even come to your water. We don't come to your lagoon because we have to go upstream. The key really is it's easier to remove phosphate than to fight the algae. So we got to take the phosphate out before the algae can grow. So the further upstream we can go to the sources of the phosphorus, the more cost-efficient and technically feasible the technology is. So we would go not even to Lake Okeechobee, but even upstream of Lake Okeechobee, basically for two reasons. Why would we want to wait until the phosphorus runoff is diluted into the vast waters of the lake? It only makes us harder to capture there. And then if you already have algae, then you don't have phosphorus to remove, then we get into algae fishing, which is never effective. So we think about a number of strategically chosen locations of major phosphorus inputs, for example, into the lake. When we talk about locations like the Taylor Creek, Newbin Slough, around the Kissimmee River, there are locations where we can treat the water, and the water is at volumes that we can treat, where we get the most removal of phosphorus for the capital that we use.
Does this mean that there has to be a buy-in by the agriculture industry, that farmers have to buy in on this idea? Because you're talking, again, about doing this upstream before it even gets to Lake Okeechobee. So Do you have to have the farmers buy in on this?
It would be nice to have the farmers buy in. It would be nice to have everybody buy in. There are different models that this can be realized. We could go to the farmers and catch the farm runoff directly and then ask the farmers to pay for such installations. There are ways that it could be subsidized by public monies if there is something like a phosphorus tax or something. Or if there is a buy-in from the public governments to say we really have to do something, it's not just the farmers who emit the phosphorus. There is also municipal runoff, other sorts of runoffs that we can strategically place funded by public money.
Luis, if you don't mind, I just wanted to chime in here for a second. I think a huge success of the barley price up until now has been the range of stakeholders that we've brought to the table to really move the needle on this. And part of one of the big criteria that Frank, his team, and the others had to perform during the pilot was how land-intensive their technologies were. So really in Florida, what we see is the need for land to actually clean phosphorus from water. And so Frank's technology and the other three finalists actually have pretty strict land requirements as to how much land they can actually take up and be effective with these technologies. So the need for much smaller parcels of land is definitely something that we're focused on as well.
And again, we're talking about the George Barley Water Prize, and there are four different groups right now, finalists for this prize, a $10 million prize. And really, it's about trying to find a way to deal with this algal problem that has caused the green-blue algaes and the red tides that have been plaguing Florida's coast. Where do we solve this problem? It seems like we need to hit it at the very beginning before it becomes a big issue. And these four groups, they're vying for this prize. They may have the solution. Frank Jokum, again, of Green Water Solutions in Wellington, they're one of the finalists. And we're also talking with Lauren Bada of the George Barley Water Prize. You know, Lauren, let's go back and just real quickly, I wanted to get the history behind the water prize, why it was started in the first place.
Sure. So it's really boils down to the innovative thoughts, the progressive leadership on our board of directors at the Everglades Foundation. We've got a great board of thoughtful businessmen and women who, after the last summer here in 2016, decided we have got to do something about this. We've tried legislation, regulation, litigation, and our board of directors really decided to put their faith in innovation and launch this prize in 2016.
You know, that's the interesting point right there, is that you've tried legislation, and we've heard all the politicians talk about dealing with this problem, going through, you know, the state legislature, going through the federal government. Here, you're just going to private industry. Is that really the solution? Is that where we have to go? Is basically say, we're going to have to go to the private sector. They may have the solution.
Well, there certainly isn't a one-size-fits-all solution to this issue. I mean, if you look at our four contestants, they come from all over the world. We actually have a team from the Netherlands. We have a first runner-up that's based in China. One of the other finalists is from the Netherlands. And so we know that this issue is of global magnitude, and we're going to need a number of different approaches to try and really solve the problem. So certainly incorporating innovative technology is a component of trying to solve the issue here in Florida.
And you know what? This is actually a technology that's not just going to help Florida. This is global, actually, right?
That's exactly right. So in stage three, we actually went north and held our pilot in Toronto because we wanted to test these contestants and make sure that their technologies could perform under temperate conditions. And so Frank can tell you a little bit more about what negative 5 degrees Celsius feels like, but their technologies had to perform under those conditions as well.
I mean, was there any pressure, though, from Tallahassee or from D.C. to say, look, I mean, we're doing as much as we can, but somebody needs to step forward, and we got to find another way to deal with this?
I certainly can't speak for them, but I think our board of directors has been working on these issues, and specifically Everglades issues, for such a long time, and we're talking about decades on this issue specifically, and we realized pretty quickly that phosphorus pollution was not by any means specific to Florida or the Everglades, so that's why they launched this prize.
Frank, the other thing, too, that you said a second ago is the fact that you're going to collect the phosphorus, and then we're going to reuse it. We're going to recycle it. It's not like it's waste. It's actually a good thing to keep and then reuse elsewhere, right?
Correct, because phosphorus is a very valuable resource. So if we take it out of our waterways where it doesn't need to be, the big question for us is, well, what are we going to do now? If we're bringing it back to the wastewater plant, we haven't really achieved much, because then the wastewater plant has to deal with this. On the other hand, once it's flowing through the rivers, through the creeks, to the oceans, it's gone. We never get it back. In contrast to nitrogen fertilizer, there is no chemical way of producing phosphorus. We have to mine it, and those mining reserves are getting exhausted. They're in politically unstable areas. So it is in our own interest to not waste this resource and to cause problem with this resource, but to recycle it to where we actually need it.
The other thing, too, is I want to come back to the technology that you guys have created for this. Again, these microscopic beads that work as this filter that takes the phosphorus out of the water. I'd imagine, too, that it's already been tested that this isn't going to be in any way harmful to the environment, that these beads wouldn't be a problem in any way.
Yes. I mean, we talk a lot about microplastics these days, so we can assure that our plastic beads stay in our system. We don't want to lose them because they cost us money. But they're also tested in a toxicology test and other tests, so there is no toxic effect. Other than taking out the phosphorus, this process does not alter the physical or chemical properties of the water.
If your group wins, how fast could this be implemented? How soon could you be out there, you know, starting to collect that phosphorus?
Well, we say we are already commercial in Europe for the industrial process waters. These are scales up to, say, 100,000 gallons a day. We know we can do this. We have operational experience. We think we can roll out this technology basically tomorrow. We don't necessarily have to wait till the end of the Bali Prize to start impacting the Florida waterways. We appreciate the Bali Water Prize because it gives us the visibility, not only in Florida, but nationwide and almost worldwide, that politicians and decision makers who are often blamed for not taking action just don't know what to do. And the message here is, okay, now we do have not even one, but more than one technologies that are commercially available that are able to do this. So we hope that, at least we're from Green Water Solution and here in Florida, we can move from talking about the algae crisis to solution or solving the algae crisis.
You know, and I don't know, and Lauren, you could jump in on this too, is that I'd imagine, again, because this was a big issue, especially in the gubernatorial, race, this issue of the algal blooms that is hurting the economy. We're a tourist-based economy, that you would probably get a lot of support probably from Tallahassee, that they're excited about the idea that maybe you could solve the problem.
Absolutely. Earlier this summer, we actually had a great partnership announcement with the state of Florida, who committed $1 million to helping us put on the Grand Challenge, which is the last stage of the prize where Frank will be competing. And that Grand Challenge will be a 14-month field test that takes place on Lake Jessup. So you're absolutely right. I mean, we've got governments that are looking for solutions, and we're excited to partner with the state of Florida and the St. Johns River Water Management District as well.
This kind of goes, Frank, to what you said, and I want to hear from both of you on this, is that we've seen a number of companies in Florida say that they claim they can get rid of the algae specifically, but that really wouldn't work because, well, the algae could just keep building up. You're going at the source. You're going at the phosphorus. Or is that a problem? I mean, again, you probably heard some of the claims. We can get rid of the algae.
I heard that a lot. There are different ways that some say we're going to harvest the algae. I have been 7 years in the algae biofuel industry. I can tell you if there were an efficient way to harvest algae from a large volume of water, we would have a flourishing algae biofuel industry. Obviously, we don't, because it's not a straightforward process. There are other technologies that aim at killing or destroying the algae. We always say, well, that's not a good concept either, because what happens when you kill the algae? They break apart, and all the phosphorus that's within the algae is then back released into the water. And then 2 weeks, you're going to call these people again and say, hey, we're having algae again. So it's a good business model, but not necessarily a solution. And as Lauren said, you're fiddling here with Band-Aids on a problem that has a defined root cause. And we now have an economically feasible technology to address the root cause directly.
Lauren, real quickly, remind us, too, of how the next step in the competition, and you were saying it's going to take how long for you to go through these four competitors to pick the winning group?
Sure. So the Grand Challenge, which is, like I said, the last phase of this prize, is scheduled to launch June 2020. We're going to give our teams about a year and a half to both design, build, and quite frankly, ship all their technologies down here to Florida. Like I said, we've got some teams from the Netherlands, China, so they've got a bit of a ways to go to get down to Florida. But Grand Challenge will be a 14-month field test where we'll be collecting data samples almost every day to really determine which one of these technologies is going to be a technological breakthrough.
One of the other aspects of this competition is the cost, and that all of these have to be cost-effective.
That's exactly right. So certainly the effectiveness at removing phosphorus is an incredibly important criteria for winning. Certainly cost, like you said, and again, the ability to be effective without using a lot of land. Those are really the basic criteria to winning this competition.
Would you be able to tell us anything about the other three competitors?
Sure. I wish they were here with us as well. One of our competitors.
And they're not just in Florida. I mean, they're global.
They're global. That's exactly right. So lucky for Frank, we're all here in Florida, so it's pretty easy to get us here. But we have one competitor from the Netherlands. They're from WETSIS, which is a European kind of consortium of universities and kind of an incubator for technology in the Netherlands. We have a team from the U.S. Geological Survey, so we've got a federal agency participating in the Final Four as well out of West Virginia. And our third team is out of the University of Idaho. And so we've got a pretty broad range of stakeholders here, again, between universities, private entities like Frank, and international consortiums.
Four groups vying again for this $10 million prize. It's the George Barley Water Prize. Again, it is trying to find the solution to the algal problems that have plagued Florida now, really for years, but the last couple of years it's been really bad. But one of these groups may have the solution, and it may not be in dealing with the algae. It may really be in dealing with the issue of phosphorus. Again, we heard from Frank Yoakum. He is of Green Water Solutions in Wellington, one of the four competitors in this prize, and Lauren Barra of the George Barley Water Prize. The $10 million prize is being presented through the Everglades Foundation. Lauren, thank you so much for sharing this with us. We'll bring you back in when you guys finally make the final decision. You pick the winner. So
we look forward to being here. Thanks for having us.
Great to have you back. Frank, thank you so much for sharing your idea. Best of luck to you. Whoever is the winner, hopefully we solve this problem, but that sounds like a fascinating project. So good luck to you, Frank.
Thanks a lot, and we hope Floridians can help Florida solving the problem.
At some point, we have to solve this problem. All right, still to come, we're going to look at the future of the home run sculpture in Marlins Park. Actually, I think it's already been moved. That's next on Sundial.